On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys. It's happening. Oh, my God, guys. Oh, my God. I wish you all were here.
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No.
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
To make the third selection in the 2020 NHL draft, the Senators have enlisted the services of a special guest who also happens to be a graduate of the University of Ottawa.
Here is the host of Jeopardy, Alex Trebek.
Thank you, Johnny. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Jeopardy. Our category today is the NHL. And here is the clue for you. With the third pick in the 2020 NHL draft, the Ottawa Senators choose this player. The correct response? Who is Tim Stutzel?
I'm not sure what the f*** this is. I'm about to find out.
This is Tall Can Audio.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back into an all-new Tall Can Audio podcast for your Monday morning. Matt over here, Rob over there. What are you saying today, man?
I'm loving the outstanding summer weather.
Very late Indian summer. I don't know if we're allowed to call it that.
And something tells me no.
Okay, well, but it's out there now.
But what the hell do I know? I heard, the Americans love it, so it must be right.
Oof, yeah. I don't know if that's the bench we want to try and clear, but and I think that's normally more of a September thing. Here we are in November. It's like 20 goddamn degrees.
Yeah, well, and of course, it paid off for me because I closed the pool this weekend.
I thought we already did this. Right. Didn't you close the pool the last time we talked about this?
Yeah, no, I did all this sort of the chemical balancing, and they tell you need a sort of a week in between.
Okay.
What I did today was I just dropped the water levels, unplugged everything, brought it inside the house. So, but I'm doing it, and the sun is beating down on me, and I'm like, I should be getting in the pool.
Honestly.
Forget about taking it down. So, yeah, it's just the final stages. It is 100% closed for the win. And honestly, man, the water is almost crystal clear. That bad boy is going to open up in the spring like money.
Gorgeous.
Money. Bam! Gorgeous. Yeah, just like that, man. You got it.
Right on. Yeah. What do you got?
I'm drinking an Idle and Coast.
Ooh.
From
the I love Frisian everything Brewer. About that.
Yeah, exactly. Idle and Coast. I like the Coast and then Idle. Yeah, usually right. Is how that goes. So Idle and Coast is a lager from Three Sheets Brewing Company out of Port Elgin.
Oh.
They'll tell you they're the pride of the Bruce Peninsula, but Owen Sound is grudgingly
they're right there pounding their
sticking to its guns, yeah. Exactly.
Okay. And we'll let the listeners in. We've been fucking around here a little bit on this end with the tech, so I had already cracked mine. I am into the Blair Hampton IPA from the Bosch Kong Brewing Company.
And Bosch Kong?
Yep. And you see them every now and then pop up in your LCBOs and your grocery stores and stuff, but they're in Minden Hills, not far from Halliburton, which is for the longest time where we had our family cottage. I always wanted to get over there, never did. And they do some cool stuff. Like they got some t-shirts with some of the different local lakes on them and artwork and stuff in there as well. But the beers are obviously what they're most known. Blair Hampton, for those familiar with the area, there's a Blair Hampton Road, Blair Hampton Golf Course. It's just kind of a Blair Hampton triangle is a kind of region in the area. So I'll be curious. I've like I said, I've wanted to try more and more of their stuff to see if it's all kind of named for the different lakes or different regions or whatever. I do want to try and find some more of their whatever. So that's what we got going on today is the IPA, the Blair Hampton IPA out of the Boshkong Brewing Company.
So I've already cracked mine. And so this is just a lager, and it's a bit on the light side, 4.3 on the ABVs. Mm. And but to me, it doesn't taste light.
Right.
And it is crisp. I would certainly hang that on it.
Nice.
And clean. They like to say it should give you the feeling of a summer's vacation day when you're, you know, wondering. The only thing you have to worry about is what you put on the barbecue. And so.
All right.
I get that.
Here in a 20-degree November day.
This is it, man. I'm actually wondering what to put on the barbecue.
Yeah.
Oh, except for I've had to move the barbecue because I'm getting the roof done. Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. That sounds expensive.
This adulting thing really blows.
Yep. Well,
and the thing is, back a month or so ago, after a couple of the big rains and windstorms, I get up and I clean the eaves troughs. And the last couple times I've been
Cinderella.
More gravel and grit and stuff in. Yeah, of course, right? And I'm looking at it. And right in the early days of the pandemic, I had a roofer show up and say, "Hey, man, your roof blows." And I'm like, "Yeah, I know, but it's April now."
Yeah, but get the fuck out of here.
exactly. So I knew it needed to get done. And so come home from work on Friday, and the neighbor said, "Hey, I had a roofer come by, and he's hit us with a quote. You know, if we both do it, pay cash."
Right.
The weather's nice, and really, I didn't want him doing it in December when, you know, the tar isn't adhering.
Right.
You know, shingles end up flying off, and so supposed to be nice for the next couple of days. So yeah, they're pulling the trigger on that bad boy, but yeah, never cheap.
And Merry really, Christmas, everybody. We're getting a new roof. Yeah, hope you enjoy it.
Christmas day, everybody out on the front lawn. There it is. Merry Christmas. Yeah. Well, that and the garage door.
Right.
That also just got done. You're like, well, there's about $7,000 between the two of them. So somebody's not going to post-secondary. Sorry about that. Or take an OSAP like the rest of us.
Right.
But yeah. And I spent 3 summers roofing. It's a racket. What a racket. Man, oh man. The guy's getting fat. That guy, not this guy.
Right. Sure. However.
Yeah, take it how you want, really.
This well-known Canadian broadcaster and game show host passed away today at the age of 80.
Okay. It's a good thing you said, and game show host, because I think 2 people have passed away in the past 24 hours.
Uh-oh. Well, I really just framed it that way so that you would answer correctly.
Who is Alex Trebek?
Yes.
Who is also Howie Meeker?
Really? How would I miss that?
I don't know. Sorry, Howie, if I've just killed you off and you're not actually dead.
I have seen his name pop up a couple times as I'm skimming through Twitter. Didn't stop to read the Howie Meeker tweets.
Well, and the thing is, this is going to air on the morning of the 9th. Mm-hmm. His birthday was the 5th. Like, it just happened last.
Whatever. Scraped by. I got one more.
Yeah, exactly. Look at that. I'm in. Bang. So, yes, another legendary Peter Puck, CBC, Hockey Night in Canada guy, Howie Meeker.
The last thing, I guess, and I don't know the Jeopardy recording schedule and when the last time he would have been putting together new episodes was, but maybe the last kind of notable thing he did outside of Jeopardy would have been announcing the 3rd overall Ottawa Senators draft pick this year.
Who is Tim Stützle?
Yep.
Correct, Matt.
I know.
That's worth $1,000.
Yes. So there's lots of people have been sharing videos of him around and like him just roasting people for their interests when he has to walk along and pretend he gives a shit about your life and, other things like, there was one round that people were posting where the category was football and, you know, most of the people who make it onto Jeopardy much smarter than your average sports fan. So they're just out there waving at the NFL questions. We've got that up on our Instagram at Talkin Audio if you want to check that out. Alex could be quite the savage when he felt like having fun with people. You got to figure standing there day after day, at some point you're like, all right, I've had enough of you fucking people.
Well, it's hard for 30 plus years to feign interest in your benign existence. Right? Is that too much?
No, that's about right.
And I was talking with the contestant.
Yeah, exactly.
Not necessarily you, Matt.
Yeah, fair.
You know that.
How often... I went through phases where I'd watch for a few months and then I'd kind of lose interest. Then I'd come back in for a few months and I'd lose interest again. Were you a Jeopardy guy?
I have been a Jeopardy guy for 25 years.
Right.
It's probably the show I've watched the most in my life.
Yeah.
I wager. See, my dad is still to this day the smartest guy I know. And I used to love to watch it with him.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I was in high school, I think, and I got to double digits in terms of right answers, right?
Right.
And it was like a huge moment. I was like, woo, my dad's over there crushing it with, you know, 30, sure. 35. But yeah, I would love to have gone on Jeopardy, to be honest with you.
I would have loved for you to have done that too.
Yeah, no. And don't get me wrong. I you listen to all those things when they talk about operas.
Right.
You know, these sorts of things, that symphonic moments, and they just crush you. They crush me.
Sure.
You know, European art.
Well, like one of the other ones getting shared around, like the people I follow on Twitter, is Canadian cities. And you point and laugh because you know Canadian cities. But if they'd have, like, if I'd have been on Jeopardy and they'd have been like Cambodian cities, no. Like, it's funny because you know it, but when you don't know it and you're in front of a crowd, and we've talked about this even on like TSN 1200 used to run their morning contest. You had to answer however many questions correct in a certain, what do they call it?
Phnom Penh. Is that a Cambodian city?
Sure.
Sorry, I wasn't listening to what you were saying.
The added pressure of knowing people are watching or listening, right? Like you probably do know some of these that now you just can't grab because you're thinking, oh God, everybody's watching, right? Like you kind of end up waving at some stuff just because of the pressure that maybe normally you'd have.
Well, we talk about, you listen to local sports radio in the morning,
oh,
and they do
that's
the 60s.
Literally the thing that I just said that you tuned out on.
Oh, okay.
64-second shootout, whatever.
61 seconds. Sorry, man. I'm asking you,
what is it called? What is? You're just giving me crickets in response. Trying to come up with Cambodian cities.
But I did just say to you, sorry, man, I wasn't listening to a word you just said. So,
but you couldn't come back around to it anymore on those. The TSN 1200 morning show trivia question that you know all your buddies are listening to. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Well, and really that's what twigged me to it, right? Is the description you're giving after it is very similar to what we've talked
about. Yeah. It sure is.
Yeah. Oh, well, I can't undo what just happened there, no. But...
I could in editing, but I choose not to.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. If I had the control and you did that,
yeah,
that's absolutely...
You're out there, man.
Right there.
Yep.
Yeah, swinging. That's okay.
If you want to go back and check out TCA 750, we had the PA in-house voice of the Leafs, Mr. Mike Ross, also formerly of OSR 1200, the Team Network. The guy goes way back. And he mentioned, just by chance, that he twice worked with Ian Mendez, once at the Carleton University radio station, and then, I believe, over at the Ottawa Lynx when he was getting his start there. And then, just by chance, 751, Ian Mendez himself was on the show, so we can kind of tie those together. They're both available at tallcanaudio.com if you haven't had a chance to check them out yet. Mike Ross was really cool to get a chance to speak to, and Ian Mendez, you know, friend of the show, he's been on a couple times now, and he's given us some rosy reviews a couple of times and shared them around, so good to have both of those guys on over the past week. If you haven't had a chance, you can check them out. We are on Twitter and Instagram at TallCanAudio, facebook.com/TallCanAudio. Why don't we start with the election, man? It's finally over. Yeah, funny that. Joe Biden, for now.
Is it finally over?
Well, They've called it. Who the hell knows?
This is the overtime goal is under review.
Yes.
In a hockey game of elections. You're like, yeah, review? What are you talking about? It's been going on for 5 days.
Is that shoulder height, crossbar height? What are we reviewing? Yeah. We don't know
yet.
Well,
the thing is, I've seen it enough times in the Jumbotron. I know it's a goal.
Right.
What is taking you so long? I know long
It's good for
ago,
ratings, man, if you can keep people tuned in.
Well, and this is it. Never have I known more or cared more about Mecklenburg County in North Carolina or Maricopa. Or, of course, who knew that Allegheny was actually a county in Pittsburgh, not just a beer in a river?
I can now name more Pennsylvania counties than I can Ontario counties, right? Like, no
Galway,
fuck.
Galway, Cavendish, Harvey, the good ones, you know.
Yeah,
North
for
Peterborough.
Sure. I wouldn't say indifferent. The right guy won, but it looks like the Dems are going to lose a couple seats in Congress, and the Republicans will hold the Senate. So, like, to me, it looks like even some sane Republicans went, "Okay, I'm still a Republican. I'm not looking for big change, but that guy's got to go." Right. And kind of punted him out of office, but held everything else in check is sort of my read on this.
Yeah. I haven't paid as close attention. I do know that it didn't turn out as rosy as the Democrats had hoped.
No, you were looking for this statement, ass kicking, we're sick of this move, you didn't get that.
No. And that is the overwhelming takeaway from this is Biden received a record number of votes for a presidential candidate.
Mm-hmm.
In second place,
yes,
Donald Trump. Like, if you motivated your base to vote, so did the other side.
Yep.
And there's a record number of people who still wanted that guy to be in the White House.
Yep.
That's
give me four more years of this.
Yeah. Which it seems ludicrous. Right to me to feel that way, and I am closing in on the completion of my fifth decade, and never can I remember so many non-Americans taking such keen interest in a U.S. election.
Yeah,
like this is you say like of course.
Well, if. Next door, that guy who came over and said to you, "Hey, you want to get your roof done? We got a guy in the neighborhood." If that neighbor was consistently coming home drunk as fuck, and one night he walked back in with like a cannon and a bunch of dynamite, you would be concerned. Like, okay, he's next door, but that's pretty close. Like, I'm intrigued by what's about to happen.
I actually needed a new garage door because he actually drove into mine. That's how that works. Yeah, no, I get it. Pierre Elliott Trudeau said, you know, living next to the Americans is like sleeping next to an elephant.
Right.
Right. And that's the deal, right? Or the 2020 version, which is living above a meth lab.
Yes.
Sorry, Pierre. That's the way we've gone in the 50 years since you dropped that quote. But yeah, no, I get it. And I guess I am over and over and over again, I am continually flabbergasted that it's that close, that it's even that close.
Yeah. Yeah, no, if you were hoping this year, like so many of us, that they would make a statement that no more of this, right? Like, we need a reasonable Republican Party, and you didn't get that. They, as you said, if Joe Biden doesn't turn out a record number of voters, the Republicans are doing this again with Trump. Like, this was anything but a condemnation of what Donald Trump had done. They were ready to sign up en masse for four more years of it, and go ahead.
I'm completely at a lack of understanding in terms of what it is. I could understand if you wanted him because, you know, he tore up NAFTA, which he deemed to be no good for Americans. Right? We're gonna bring jobs and industry back to the United States. I can get behind that. If that's what you're going to lead, that's your leading platform, right? We're going to pull the military out of some of these places, bring them home. We're going to worry about American issues, and we're going to have American soldiers protect American interests. Here, I can get behind that.
Or fire on American citizens in Portland. Or in
I need them actually to protect Americans
right.
from Americans.
Yes.
How little attention did that get?
Yeah, almost none.
That you are the first, you know, president to want to use American troops on Americans.
Right.
In a time of, air quotes, peace.
Yeah.
but the things that I've stated, I can get behind, right?
Yep.
How about the absolute bullshit, lack of honesty, and just flat out lying? Like, how about that? Where do you look at it and go?
That's something I can't get around. Like, I can't get my head around that many people being fine with being lied to. Now, he's lying on your side, I guess. He's telling you the things that so many people want to hear, but he's spitting bullshit in your face, and you're like, well, I guess. Like, it's fine. I don't get it. I don't understand why you'd be okay with that.
I had a quadruple bypass, and my doctor told me it's okay to pick up a bucket of the Colonel's Finest
yes.
on the way home.
I may utter that lie at some point in my life.
That's the thing you want to hear. Yeah, that's the thing you want to hear,
yeah.
but you know it's not
right.
true.
It's total shit. And that's the part I wonder, as I stayed up on the Tuesday night, late into the wee hours when he gave his speech at like 2:30 in the morning or whatever it was, and just watching the shit that he's spewing, and a bunch of the networks cut away saying this is not based in reality, you know, we can't continue to show this, and the same with the one the next day that he... I really wonder, and I'd be curious to get your take, how much of this does he believe? Like, how much does he think it's true? Is he being screwed? Is this being taken from him? Or is this theater? Is this... I gotta sell this to my base so that none of us have to admit the horrible truth that we were just defeated, even with a record turnout. And I honestly, I hope he knows he's full of shit, because like I want this to hurt him, right? I want him to know he lost. But if he gets to walk around, even if it's only in his own head, and say this was taken from me, then this loses some fun for me. I you know.
Well, like, the thing is. You know, come January 6th, when the Electoral College counts its votes officially and submits them, and Biden gets sworn in to take office on the 20th of January, I believe.
Yep.
People are already now talking about this election that was stolen.
Yep.
Right? So...
With zero evidence.
With zero evidence, right? And but he was planting the seeds of this 6 weeks ago,
at
two
least,
months
yep.
ago.
Yep.
Right?
This was always the play.
So this was the deal where I'm going to cover it. If I lose, I have this out that it was stolen from me. And if I don't, so I clearly believe it's a second. It's more theater.
Yeah.
I'm hoping, as you say, I'm hoping it's theater.
Yeah. I want this to hurt his feelings.
Well, but again, like any delusional, you know, 9-year-old, this is what he does. You cheated.
Yeah.
No, I fucking beat you fair and square.
Right.
No, you cheated.
Yep.
You cheated. And then you walk away. And some of those people never get past that.
No. No. And I've read a few different quotes and some people who've dealt with him, like as former lawyers and stuff, that people like this believe they can litigate their way to, if not victory, to not a loss. Right? And that's what he's hoping to... Like, can he come out of a court ruling... with not enough evidence to overturn, right? The same thing that you just referenced, the double overtime, you know, goal review. You know, can he get to a point where he gets to walk away with, they didn't beat me, there just wasn't enough proof to overturn it, right? Like,
right.
something like that. And is that what his ego requires? No. We talked about this very early on when... You know, he was being sworn in and neither one of us could believe it. And we both, like, we got, I can remember us talking about, he'll never be impeached. He will resign before he's ever impeached. It's got to be his control, his way, his, and I think that's where we're sitting now. Like, I don't believe he'll ever concede. He'll get to walk away saying, yeah, no, we got screwed.
Well, Biden gave his speech last night, or...
Yep. Saturday night, yep.
Late Saturday night, and we're recording this at, you know, dinner time Sunday, and he still hasn't conceded.
No.
Right? And they're still mouthing stuff like recounts in places like Wisconsin. The fact, when you do the research, recounts result in a sway of approximately 300 votes.
That's the most ever. 300 votes have changed sides.
So, good
luck, man.
There's
not 20,000 votes out there.
Like, where are you going to find those? Is he hoping to find them? You know, and he's saying, stop counting.
Yep. Then you lose.
But keep counting over here. Like,
yeah.
What is happening here?
If you're going to sit there for months at a time and tell anyone who wants to listen to you that mail-in balloting is a fraud, don't do it, then they're not going to do it. And they'll show up and they'll vote. And that's why on election day, he had the big lead most of the time. And anybody on the other side who didn't believe that that was worth a pinch of coon shit still voted by mail. And in some states, those got counted later, had to be counted after the actual walk-up day. And oh no, that keeps getting closer and closer. And oh, he passed this fuck, right?
Well, and really, it was watching Uber stud John King, man.
That guy's at home asleep right now.
Yeah. Well, honestly, how he doesn't drop the Randy Savage elbow on Wolf Blitzer. Shut up, man. I'm over here talking.
Yeah, he's in Pennsylvania. Like, let's check in on Nevada. No, I'm talking about Pennsylvania.
I'm finishing right here. And so in Philadelphia County. And so, you know, the idea that he's saying, yeah, you can't rail against the mail-in vote in Pennsylvania and Arizona and Nevada when it super benefited you in Florida and Ohio on election day.
Yep.
Those states counted their mail-ins early.
Yep.
Democrats had the huge election day lead
that
Trump chipped away at.
Yep. The exact reverse of... Yep.
Exactly. So you can't have it both ways.
Well, you can to fucking Skeeter in West Cousin Fuck, Arkansas. Like, that's...
Skeeter Fuck. What
else? Skeeter in West Cousin Fuck, I think.
Is okay, sorry.
Get it right, man. We were supposed to have learned these counties over the last couple of days. Although West Cousin Fuck, Arkansas was wrapped up pretty early for Trump.
Yeah, but I do know the Kentucky one is much more contentious. Yeah, I saw somebody on Twitter with the handle Canadians for Trump.
Oh, oof.
And I'm like, man, I tweeted back at him. That's got to be as rare as nuns for herpes. And I got nothing.
No.
I got no response. But I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Move. I'm rescinding. I don't have any of the power to do this.
No.
But I am on a podcast.
You're moving to West Cousin Fuck.
I am. Yeah, this is it. I am rescinding that guy's Canadian citizenship.
Love
Get
it.
Out of here.
Yep. A couple other items in the news that you had sent over. One of them being, why don't we move to Ovechkin?
But can I just briefly, in wrapping up the election and watching Joe Biden's speech on Saturday night.
Biden is time.
I think, yeah. Well, Trump's tweet too saying, if I lose to Sleepy Joe, I'm leaving. You'll never see me. And from the official Joe Biden Twitter handle, it was, B-I space D-E-N.
Biden.
Biden.
Love it.
Yeah. But listening to him speak, and I thought Kamala Harris was maybe the better of the two.
She was terrific, yeah.
But Joe, I think, hit all the right notes. And at the end of the day, you're like, okay, it's refreshing because it's how it has been and how it should be, as opposed to the crazy bullshit.
Funny, eh? All the stuff we used to complain about. Like, just so dull and whatever, but finally, like, it's, thank God that's back.
And so it's like, Grandpa is in charge again, as opposed to the last 4 years of that crazy bachelor uncle of yours who shows up drunk, swears all the time at Thanksgiving, doesn't know what he's doing.
You're right.
Like, okay, Uncle Barry is out now. Yep. Sorry, I've just outed you, Uncle Barry. And Grandpa's in, right? You just sort of, it's got that kind of steady...
Well, I saw so much leading up to it. So many people saying, like, I can't wait for the president to be boring again, right? Like, I can't wait to not wake up every day wondering if the president's about to make us the laughing stock of the world again. Like,
well, when Iran and India and Northern Korea are taking shots at you,
mm-hmm.
and snickering and pointing.
Yeah, Russia and China were both pointing and laughing at your sham of a democracy. Like,
yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah, you're in trouble when, yeah, for sure. Anyways, I just wanted to touch on that. It's nice to have boring. And yeah, and when George W. Bush is the one tweeting out, you know, congratulations to Joe and you know, this will all come, you know.
Yeah.
When George W. is the adult in the room and the most polished politician.
Yeah, he's not choking on a pretzel.
Yeah, well, this is it. This is it. I'm
totally with you. And I saw some great stuff on the Kamala front as well. I thought she was extremely well-spoken, and I did enjoy that she took a minute in her speech to point out, you know, that kids looking at this, you know, for little girls across the world to see, you know, second in line to the presidency at this point. I do buy in to this notion, as cheesy as it sounds, I don't know that there's a better way to word it, the if you can see it, you can be it, right? And there she is. There she is, standing up there speaking, and speaking professionally, speaking well. And I don't think it matters necessarily what your particular the little girl in your life, your daughter, your niece, your granddaughter, whatever, what she wants to be. Just take a minute every now and then to point at, hey, there's one. There's Rosemary Barton, right? The number one news broadcaster in Canada. She's out there doing it. There's Kamala Harris. She's now the vice president of the USA. She's out there doing it. Dr. Theresa Tam is now the one in charge of our COVID response. There she is. Just point at it now and then. And you don't have to make it a big thing, but just for little girls all over the place to be able to go, okay, like in all these positions, there are women out there doing it and making a difference. And I thought it hit the nail on the head pretty nicely the way Kamala brought that up during her speech. And, you know, Biden did all the things that a president-elect is going to do, trying to, you know, I'll be a president for all and all these sorts of things. But I thought Kamala's speech was, you know, maybe a little bit better in terms of just being real, right? And it felt more naturally her, if that makes sense, as opposed to a speech written for an incoming president.
Right. Nope. Totally true, man. Totally true. So carry on where you were going.
We were going to talk a little bit about Alex Ovechkin, who we've chatted about on this show a few times over the last several months. And I think as we went, I was becoming more and more, I won't say sure, but more and more confident Wayne was in his sights. And the longer we fuck around with lopping 10 games off the end of a season, and, you know, do we shorten this upcoming season? He's had one, his whole rookie season was canceled out for the total 405 lockout. He missed half a season in 12-13. What do we do this year? I'm losing confidence in that. But he came out and made some interesting comments this week about, you know, that he felt like he had at least another 5 years in the NHL, but that he would like to finish up with Dynamo Moscow. And I guess I'm not shocked by that. Like, he could do the Yager thing, right? Play at 46, 47 in Kladno or wherever back at home if he wanted to. But what did you make of the whole thing?
Well, yeah, and he said 2 to 5 years.
Yeah.
And he also didn't really say how long he wanted to play for Dynamo.
Right.
Right? He did say,
a game,
I want to play.
A season.
Is that a game? Is that a season? Right? I have no idea. But if you look, he's 188 goals away.
Yep.
Right? And so, yeah, with a shortened season this year, which, man, you'd be lucky if you played 48 games to get 25 goals would be a pretty prolific pace. Yep. Yeah, you become more and more, right? He's a beast, right? But you wonder what happens when he doesn't skate well enough to get to the spots where he needs to be, right? And so I think anybody it's wishful thinking for the most ardent Ovechkin fan to think that at this point he can reach that 895, which is one plus what Gretzky had, right? Mm-hmm. I think you'd have to be fooling yourself at this point, right?
So are you ruling it out completely?
I am ruling it out due to the fact that I think he's running at a racetrack.
Yep. And we're taking racetrack away from it.
And we're narrowing the racetrack, right? Every once in a while, my right wheel touches gravel.
Right.
That's absolutely slowing me down. So I just look at it and go 100 and, you know, whatever I just said, 188 goals, five seasons. Man, that's
And he's never really said that it's important to him.
Right.
Maybe he would.
We all keep saying
yes. So you wonder, right, like if we played a normal 82 this year, like it's not like you're going to, like let's say he was going to play a 48-game season in 5 years. Well, maybe you were only expecting or needing 20 goals from him that year and he ends up with 10 or whatever. This is one of those prime years where you needed him to get 40 again, right? Like it does matter where you pluck those games from. These are still his productive years and it's hurting him bad.
And the other thing is, if you look at it, that this team that won a couple years ago is getting worse.
Yep.
Right? Like they have an aging roster. I maybe not Kuznetsov, but you look at the chemistry he's had with Backstrom for the most of his career.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Backstrom just signed that contract that we all see is going to be terrible in another year, maybe if you're lucky.
Right.
This team is also going to start to get worse.
Yep. Right?
To me, the window is, if it hasn't closed, we'll see what happens when Samsonov gets in here, right, and what their D looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, this team is trending in the wrong direction.
Yeah, Oshie's got hard miles on him.
For sure.
Wilson is behind Oshie in terms of the number, but he plays a hard style too, right? Like, they will start to fall off. How many of those can you get on a great power play? Yeah. How long does it stay great?
This is it. And to me, he's going to become... It's going to be more power play focused centric in terms of his production, I think, as he gets a little older. I'm not suggesting in 2020, 21, or whatever, it's just going to be 2021, whatever the season is, that he's going to drop off a cliff. I don't see that.
No.
I think he would be a consistent 40 goals if he was to play a full 82 games, right? He just is that way. If you look at his career, he's had 4 or 5 seasons of sub 40 goals. Like super consistent in terms of anywhere from 40 to 65 goals in a season, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, you wonder if you could give him those 82 in 04-05 back, if you give him the 30 games or whatever it is he missed in 12-13, and if this year doesn't look like whatever it's going to look like, is he still on a pace to go, man, that may be mighty just reachable?
In what you said in terms of those 140 games, that may be 100 goals.
Yep, could be.
Right, if you start to look at two full seasons, almost,
yeah,
right. That in what you said, that's a lot that's gone, right. And so, I don't think you'll catch Gretz, but I do think, and where I have been swayed, and I can only say I've been swayed because it's my memory. We've talked about it, but to me at this point, you'd have to look at him as the most prolific goal scorer.
I think so.
Ever.
Yeah, we're going to eventually do this thing, goals per game instead of actual number of goals, and maybe that's a different way of, you know, of looking at it.
And era adjusted.
Yep, for sure. Right. This is where you get into the fancy stats and start to break it down and go, this fucking guy, the guy he's playing against versus the guys Wayne was playing against, and goalies still just in there kind of kicking at it and
like, waving at it. Yeah, but the thing with Wayne is, and again, I look at Wayne's like scored 50 as a rookie, which I think Ovechkin did as well, if not very close.
I think so.
You look at Wayne's like people are like, oh, he's just a greedy goal scoring guy, right? Up plus 80 goals, 92 goals.
Yeah.
And then Wayne's like, all right,
here's 200 assists for you.
Yeah, I'll score 52 goals. But I'll put that with 163 right. assists. Like that's the thing is, and we're not comparing Wayne to Ovi.
Yeah, but different types of players.
Wayne's like whatever. What do you want me to do?
Yeah,
you want me to score 90 plus goals like nobody ever has before? I'll do that.
Yeah.
You want me to get over 200 points 5 times like no one else has ever done? No problems. So I think, and again, it always comes down to this Gretzky thing, where we have to protect him, right? Covet Wayne, but the reality is, whatever Wayne's records will never be touched. And if you look at what other guys in his generation were doing, he's blowing guys out of the water.
Yeah,
like that one season when he had 250 points, he had more assists than the next guy had points.
Right.
So
But do you think now, like everything in front of you right now, is Ovechkin the better goal scorer?
For sure.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Like Wayne's the better overall player, perhaps, but in terms of having to blast it through two defensemen, now blocking shots and a goalie in the butterfly with all his pads on, it's a totally different world, right?
But in his times of busting off the wing and coming in and scoring, right, he is scoring. It's become much more of a lethal power play in Washington, right, where he's over there and he's just there waiting on the one timer. And guys know what's coming.
But Wayne would score 30 goals a year that right now you'd go, oh God, like those are terrible. Like those far side coming down the wing or whatever. You're like, could you just make a move on that or something?
you think of that iconic Gretzky in the playoffs coming down on Mike Vernon, right?
Yes.
You see it on the beginning of, right? He's coming in and he's coming in the left wing and he just powers that over Vernon's. You know, and he's like waving at it. Yeah. And at the time, you're like, that's unbelievable.
Sniper. But you watch it now, you're like, fuck, man. Like,
yeah, it's a clapper, right? He even just like winds up, and it's not even like, I'm coming in, and where am I going to go? Snap.
Right.
No, I'm winding up, and it's like Vernon's already like, oh, fuck, it's in the net.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, it's already scored.
Yeah.
But our guy, Ian Mendez, was talking on the radio the other day about, and this is the much more, I think, sort of relevant comparison, right? The Ovechkin to Crosby, right? And if Ovechkin catches Gretzky or comes close, you know, does it give him the nod in terms of a better career than Sid? Right?
Wow. You know, in theory, if you score more goals than anyone else in the history of the game, hard to take much away from that guy, right? Like, that would be, because Sid's not going to touch Wayne's points totals. No one is, right? Like, not the way we play the game now.
By 1,000 points, right, Nobody's going to touch him, right?
Right.
It's the Ovechkin to, but it's interesting. If you look at, like, Ovi has 706 goals for 1,278 points, right? Sid has only 462 goals, so he's 240 shy. Yeah. Okay, but he has 801 assists.
Yep.
Right, for 1,263 points.
Guy's making Pascal Dupuis kids millionaires.
Well, this is it. Right, so he is only 15 points behind Ovi, and he's played something like 200 games less.
Yeah.
Neck. And then you look at it and go, oh, wait, and he's got three cups.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you sort of go, okay. And this is just, but this is the comparison, right?
Will be one of those things. It's fun across the pub table for the next.
Well, that's what we're doing here.
Yeah, of course, man.
This is what we're talking about.
Yep.
And if you look at Sid with his three cups to Ovi's one, they both have, you know, a world junior. They both have world championships.
Yep.
But what Sid has, and I think, which is what Ovi really covets, right, is that Olympic gold?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, the one time that they got to do it head-to-head wasn't close, but we've taken 2010? Away, yeah.
Oh, that was orgasmic. We've talked about it a million times on this show.
It's hilarious, yeah.
But I'm just sort of, honestly, that was like, oh, leaning back in the leather recliner. I was just like, oh my God, this is fantastic.
But we took it away in 2018, and, you know, it was supposed to be part of the CBA to do 2022, but that was sort of pre, you know, can you justify doing that now?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, they're not going to pull out of China. Forget it.
I think you're right, but if there was ever a case to be made, like, their last couple of years have been fucked, right? Like, it's...
Yeah.
Money to take years off, I don't know what that's going to look like.
I understand, right? And that's why they're like, Pyeongchang, forget it. Not happening. Sorry, Korea, that's just not our... Whereas the Chinese market, even if you could move it by 1%...
Yeah, no, for sure. The just awareness, shift that decimal point at all.
The numbers are so huge there that that's really what they want to do, right? is make a little bit of, you know, larger footprint in China. And yeah, they're not pulling out of that at all.
Speaking of so huge, let's talk a little Vladdy Guerrero. Okay. He's never pulling out of a buffet.
Or pulling back from the table.
Right. The Blue Jays have had some talks with him, and Vladdy has said, I don't know how much to make of this, because this is the second straight year he's said it, that he's working harder and he's going to lose some weight, and he wants to be back at third base, which I'm not so sold on that. But the Blue Jays are in an interesting situation this offseason, and Bob Nightingale reported that this week several... Go ahead, sorry.
I said, don't say it.
Don't
say it. You're going to talk about Francisco Lindor?
No.
Oh, okay.
Although, keep God, going. Speaking of keep things that might make me orgasmic. Just that Bob Nightingale reported, who's one of the big baseball insiders, that many around the game expect the Blue Jays to be amongst the most aggressive teams in this offseason. And that could lead you to a Francisco Lindor. He didn't say that. I'm saying that. But Cleveland is going to be looking to cut.
He actually did say that.
Okay, not in the tweet that I read. Okay. But yeah, that the Jays will look to be aggressive this offseason. And Cleveland is going to be looking to, you know, cut salary a little bit. But before we look at Lindor or anything else that might happen, what do you make of Vlad's comments, and do we expect to see him thin down at all come spring training next year?
Well, I have coached many an athlete, Matt,
mm.
who has told me a bunch of things and not followed through on it, right?
Yep.
I am going to be ripped come the beginning of next season.
Yeah. Ripped.
And yeah, and you go, what they mean is you're going to be left feeling ripped off. Because you lied right to my face.
Right.
I'm going to do this. However, I think the subtle difference in Vladdy's language, he didn't say, last year, he didn't say, oh, I was a fat toad. And he just said,
I'll be more fit. Yeah,
I've committed to a fitness regimen.
Right.
And he came in the original spring training.
Right. 1.0.
Looking fairly trimmed down in comparison to the end of the final season.
Yep.
The previous season. This time, the language is much stronger, right? In terms of how he's referring to himself, right? Where he's saying, yeah, I had to apologize to my teammates for coming in at this blimpish weight, right? And how I think you've got to think in sitting down with his agent, his dad, saying, you're costing yourself money. This is money that is going to come right out of your pocket long term if you don't commit to this. And he's saying, if you look at Acuna and you look at Tatis Jr., and he goes, my contemporaries, like Latin players who legitimately are his contemporaries, who had fantastic seasons, and he did not.
Nope.
And he's acknowledging, yeah, this is not happening because I am grossly overweight.
Grossly.
For a professional athlete.
Yep.
And he's not wrong. And now I'm like, yeah, Vladdy, sing it, brother.
Yeah.
Sing it.
Let's see a little more Vladdy Sr. and a little less Prince Fielder, right?
Yeah. Like, and then he comes out with, and I want to go back to third. And I'm whoa.
No, easy, buddy.
Slow your roll, big fella.
Easy.
Because, yeah, I think no matter what he does, he's got a giant caboose. and it's never going to go away. Like, that to me is just...
Yeah, some things are just frame, right?
Like, that's built for samba music and dancing, right? Like, he is never going to get away from that. And so, hey, you can be, you know, you look at, a proficient first baseman with huge bat skills, like he could be,
mm-hmm.
you can make yourself fat stacks.
Well, this is where you start to look around. What happens if you could grab a Francisco Lindor to play short and move Bo to second, because we all love Bo, but Bo's not the greatest defensive shortstop in the game.
Right. No one's going to confuse him with a young Tony Fernandez.
No, probably not. Kevin Biggio has shown he could play almost anywhere in the field. So he moves off second. Does he move out into the outfield? Does he maybe end up at third? Whatever you want to do there. But all of a sudden, it opens some things up with your pitching staff as well. You're less afraid of having ground ball pitchers there once you're far more confident in your defense, right? You don't want pitchers that pitch to a lot of contact if you don't trust your defense. If they could somehow find a way to get Lindor, and I don't know what it might cost.
This is an interesting thing, is they're talking about this being a deflated market.
Yeah.
Right? In terms of Cleveland is letting him go essentially because they can't afford him.
Right. They just don't want to pay him.
He's got one more year. He's going to make anywhere between 17 and 21 or 22 million this year.
Mm-hmm.
And they're fine with maybe ponying up now, but he is going to look for a big increase.
Yep.
As a guy who is we were just talking about Bo Bichette and Lindor is a two-time Gold Glove winner.
Yep.
Also a two-time Silver Slugger.
Oscar.
Yeah, well, this is it. But this is a guy who's bringing. This is a guy who's bringing both sides.
Yep.
Is what I'm suggesting is he's two or three times in the top 10 for MVP voting.
Oh, he's a fantastic player. But he's not the type of player that you expect to land in Toronto.
No, and so if they're willing at, and depends on, is Cleveland going to be looking at some of your blue chip prospects, or are you, are they looking at Kevin Biggio?
Oh, maybe.
Right? Or you start looking at Anthony Kay and Berucki and Hatch.
See ya.
Yeah, okay, and that's what I'm saying. Is it other in terms of your more coveted blue chip prospects who haven't arrived yet?
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I would rather see them how about if I asked you this, Matt? Would you rather see Francisco Lindor arrive for 1 year? Oh. Or would you rather see them sign Trevor Bauer?
I really hate Trevor Bauer. So.
But he is a front of staff.
Maybe
you disagree?
Really good too. Really good too.
I would be very happy with a legit number two.
Yeah. No doubt.
In front of this rotation starts to look much different.
What you're selling me, What you're selling me is Lindor for 1 year or Bauer long term. I'll take Bauer. But I want to get Lindor here and get that done. I want Rogers to pay. I want to know while Rogers is fucking me on the internet all the time. What you're doing with that with that money. And I guess part of it looks like, are the Jays going to Buffalo again next year? Like, what world are they living in right now? Right? They're asking the same questions that a lot of teams are asking. And obviously Cleveland's come up with an answer. We need to unload. I don't know what the Blue Jays world looks like right now. And I know Rogers has got some fat stacks, but do they want to do with it?
Yeah, here's the beauty. The more people in this country who work from home and need better internet access, all these sorts of things, this and more cable. I just need more of everything you provide, Rogers. Like, to me, they are other
go
places.
Get me Lindor, you fuckers.
Yeah. Well, at this point, I want both.
Right, exactly, man.
And a couple of solid back of the bullpen guys.
Yes.
Can you do that too?
Yes.
And then bring it on.
Yeah.
Let's squeeze out the Rays or the Yankees. Let's squeeze somebody else out here in this division. I don't care where we play.
Right.
Right here at Link Stadium.
Well, we're looking at the same thing with the Raptors, right? Are they going to Louisville? We don't know what's about to happen in any of these. But it doesn't look like anybody's going to bring in any money. So.
Oh, I don't know, man. You're going to see.
Do the Blue Jays, are they willing to spend like a big market team? Or are we going to
and this is what I was talking about before. We mentioned, and I talk about the guy who owns the Dallas Stars, right? He owns Moxie's and a couple of other hotels.
Right.
That's his money. That's taking a big hit.
Yeah, of course.
So not only are you not putting people in the stands, Your other businesses.
This is something Friedman said on 31 Thoughts at one point was, no matter what your favorite sports franchise is, look at your owner's chief business. His sports teams are his toy, but yeah. Look at what he actually owns. Is he a hotel magnate? That guy's getting ready to trim, right? Like these sorts of things. If you are somebody like Rogers, who suddenly found himself, people needing more TV, needing bigger internet services. I don't know, maybe it's different, but that was something Friedman said very early on, was if you want to see what your team is about to do in any of these leagues, look at what that guy's chief business is, and you'll figure it out really fast.
Right, you look at Molson,
mm-hmm.
and the
we're still drinking.
I know, but I mean the ownership in Montreal, right? They are mm-hmm. also were a Venco,
yeah,
right, which hosts and runs all the.
So we got our awesome UFC seats through.
Yeah, so all the events that come through the Bell Center, right? So yeah, nobody. There's been nothing happening for 7 or 8 months,
yep.
Right? And so that's another way we look at now.
Yep.
Clearly didn't keep them from giving Josh Anderson.
Yeah. More than they wanted to give Max Domi.
Yeah, more than they wanted to give anybody, really.
Yep.
But that is the interesting thing here. And so the Jays, the Rogers are in terms of their main business, they're in the best shape mm-hmm. you can imagine mm-hmm. of any other business, because their main business is doing all right.
So throwing it back at you. Bauer long term or Lindor short term?
Bauer long term, all day long. Yeah. Right. In terms of seeing what happened, the guy they drafted first overall last year, in the first round last year, his name escapes me. I think he's a third baseman.
Right. Looks like.
And so at this point, I'm willing to live with Bo's bumps, right, as he goes. And if you can put together that kind of an infield.
Yeah.
But if I got to give up Kirk. And
little roly poly catcher.
If I give him up and Biggio and another prospect,
it's getting expensive fast
for 1 year.
I guess it depends what is Cleveland looking for? Would they take? They're going to want something, but plus cash considerations. That should be something Rogers is flexing on, right?
You think they're hoping for the Scalbania option or?
Personal services contract.
Yeah, or whoever the Peter Pocklington.
Yes.
Can I just get cash?
Right.
Can you sell that guy to me?
You're right. You want to get him locked up. You want some sort of assurances that he's at least willing to play in Canada. But to me, that guy is a game changer, and Trevor Bauer, very good. He would absolutely bring some stabilization, but I don't know how long-term that guy is in terms of what he's got and how willing he is to come. Like, he's got some feelings about the games he's played in Canada, right? He hasn't been shy on social media about what he's thought of playing in Canada. So you wonder if that's even an option. But Lindor is a top five shortstop in the game, a top 10 player in the game. If you could make that happen for longer than 1 year, I'll blow by Trevor Bauer to make that, to get that done.
But that wasn't the question I asked.
It was not, but that's the question I'm answering.
Okay.
You all by now should understand how politicians answer questions.
Yeah.
I hear your question, and I thank you for asking it. Here's the one I'm choosing to answer right now.
Yeah, exactly. And usually especially a Republican in the States at this moment, it's, you want to ask me about the pandemic, but I want to talk to you about fracking in Pennsylvania.
Go frack yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. Go frack yourself. Yeah. It's not even the same thing, which is kind of what you've just done.
Yeah. Thanks, man. With skill. I understand.
Yeah. You and Mike Pence.
Yep. Me and my pants.
There's a nice comparison you want to go.
Anything else you wanted to get to on this one? Okay, why don't you finish ripping me, and then I'll ask the question.
No, I'm totally fine. It really comes down to, there's nothing really else I have. Oh, I did want to touch on, we've been talking in the past about, other podcasts and stuff that you like to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Have you listened to any of the recent Alan Cross, you know, ongoing history of music?
I do love his show, but for whatever reason, I just haven't caught it.
He did a little, he did a segment on sort of 90s alt rock one hit wonders.
Moby.
And it's sort of interesting because you have that sort of, that idea of the 80s one hit wonder and sort of how it's sort of cloaked in cheesiness. But the longer you, the further you get away from you, like that cheese sort of becomes, it's got a bit of a vintage feel to
it.
No,
it's cheese.
Really, 99 Luftballons by Nina, that kind of thing?
Yep.
Or Dexy's Midnight Runners.
Oh, God.
Runners. Come on, Eileen.
Yep.
No? You're not going in for that?
I have Come on, Eileen on my phone, but...
Yeah. All right. How about the first song ever played on MTV?
Video Killed the Radio Star.
By the...
I got it. I don't got it.
Do you have it?
No.
Because I will be very impressed if you got it.
I normally have Men Without Hats.
That's Safety Dance, my friend.
Oh.
The Buggles.
Oh, it is too. Fuck.
The Buggles.
Fuck.
Video. Yeah, I have it written right down here in front of me. So
no, I know you're right.
I felt fairly confident that I knew what it was. But when it comes down to 90s one hit, what do you got? What
Blind
do you got?
Melon,
what's your
No
go-to,
Rain.
Matt? Oh, I love that one.
No, it stinks.
Yeah, see, that's... No, I love that tune. That's a super solid tune.
No, it's terrible.
Back in the day, I remember being a young student in radio broadcasting and having to show up for a 2 a.m. studio because that's the only time I could get any kind of studio time at the college. And that song came on the radio and I'm like, what is this? This is super cool.
No, it's trash.
No Rain. Is it trash because you've heard it 1,000 times?
It's trash because the voice is annoying and it's just not a good song.
All right. So you don't go in for it.
No.
So what do you have? I'll give you a couple of options.
Mm-hmm.
How about Bandito by the Refreshments?
Great song. And they're not a one-hit wonder.
Come on. Of course they are.
Although that is a great song. But the other one is Down Together. Is a great tune by them. Check it out.
Okay, don't know it. Don't know it.
Of course not. Apparently you've got them as a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, how about Own Worst Enemy by Lit?
Yeah, they're a one-hit wonder for sure.
How
but
about
very
Flag
much in that American Pie kind of, you know, Blink 182, Sum 41 kind of vein, right? Like,
okay, how about Flagpole Sitter by Harvey Danger?
Yeah, it's not coming to me. Like, I know it, but it's not like I can't hear it in my head right now. But yeah, it's absolutely a one-hit wonder. These are right in my fucking wheelhouse, man. These are late high school, whatever.
Yeah, okay. Well, and these other two, I think you'll probably find to be even better.
Sweet.
How about two that are absolutely in my wheelhouse as tunes that to me sound as good today as they did in the late 90s. In the Meantime by Space Hog.
Yeah, it's not coming to me at all, actually. Yeah.
What?
What?
Oh, come on, man. In the Meantime by Space Hog. That guy was, the lead singer was married to Liv Tyler for a bit.
Ooh.
Yeah, good for you,
for
buddy.
A bit.
Yeah.
Until she realized he was a one-hit wonder.
And how about Got You Where I Want You by The Flies?
Yeah, no, I know that one for sure. That's a good tune, man. That's
an awesome tune. That's what I said. Both those songs. And once you hear In the Meantime by Space
and I will. We'll check her out.
Yeah. Anyways, it's totally.
I wish I hadn't done that.
It's totally. Yeah, sure. You're totally good with it. It's gold. It's gold, that tune.
It's gold, Jerry.
And it's funny because One Hit Wonders, after listening to the podcast, I flipped over and I'm like, hey, blankety blank. Play 90s one-hit wonders.
Yeah. There's a million playlists, and they'll just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And none of them were anything. There was, like, Informer and...
Yes. Awesome. And, Snow.
Who Let the Dogs Out by the...
Oh, yeah, that's
Baja
too bad.
Men, like, what is this crap? Like, but stuff that never sort of fell into my wheelhouse
right.
In terms of of music that...
It's whereas too bad you were never an Informer guy. That's a great tune.
But that, see, to me, that goes in with Dexy's Midnight Runners.
And, a decade later, but yeah.
You know, but you know, but in terms of, it's cheesy and it's crappy. right away you know it. You're like, boom, that's, you're out. So anyways, it was an interesting, because yeah, you think of the one-hit wonder, and I just, yeah, the things that the sort of, a lot of those one-hit wonders fall right into your guilty pleasure.
Oh yeah, right? No, for sure. There's a reason, like, they're not one flop wonders, like, they made it, right? And they hang with you for a long time. For some reason, Blind Melon is just that one that I say one-hit wonder with malice, right? Like, I'm like, oh,
yeah, I didn't even get the question out, and you're already,
no, fuck down, like,
it.
That was terrible. I hate that, and it's his voice, like, it's a very Coldplay kind of voice, or whatever, right? Like that high pitch kind of whine. It is in that regard.
I gotta listen to it, but I don't hear Blind Melon and think Coldplay. I don't.
And not, they don't write similar songs, but it's that whiny kind of voice that I don't like. Right.
That's I think you're gonna get outright mockery for that take.
Outright mockery.
Outright. That also,
that'll be new. The, yeah.
Matt, you suck. Oh yeah.
Ian Mendez says I'm cool.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't say that. He said I'm. He did not say I was cool. Nowhere in his remarks did he say I was cool.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. It's true. He did not say that.
No.
But yeah. So to me, it's interesting, right? In terms of, I would put. How about this? Where does Tub Thumper by Chumbawamba fit into that for you? That's a one hit.
Absolutely a one hit wonder. In the right mood, I don't hate it. It's not in my music collection, but if you're out at the bar or at a wedding, or like, it's kind of a wedding, I guess. So like, it doesn't bug me like No Rain would.
You're not getting up on the bar and dancing to it, are you?
Probably not. I'm often concerned about the stability of these bars when I climb up on them.
Yeah, you alone, Matt. You alone are concerned about that. What's going to happen here? I know what's going to happen.
It's going to come crashing.
Big boy's
down.
Coming down. That's what's happening right here.
No doubt about that. Yeah, no, that one doesn't... To me, that's guilty pleasure, and that's different than One Hit Wonder. Now, maybe that's a podcast for a different day, right? Like,
sure.
What sure. One Hit Wonder is just out there, but guilty pleasure, like, you wouldn't tell anybody that's in your collection, but that's in your collection, and that
it's
is
the
in
kind
my
of, it's
collection.
It's the kind of tune that would make Matt dance around with a vacuum cleaner hose.
Mm. Like the Cores.
Yes.
Breathless. If you don't know it, check it out.
And it was,
that's
on
my
that
Mrs. Doubtfire song.
Yeah, and it was the same one that it was on the same playlist that showed up with in Informer and
yes,
who Let the Dogs Out.
That, all right. See, I don't like you lumping that one in there.
I'm just saying they
You're
were on
painting
the same
me
playlist.
Oh, yeah. I thought the playlist that you created.
Oh no,
no.
No, I do not have that on there at all. For sure. Right.
One of these years on my birthday, Rob was thoughtful enough to create a playlist at a barbecue we were having, and Who Let the Dogs Out was not on Matt's One Hit Wonder.
It was not.
There was some Sophie B. Hawkins.
There was some Cher.
There was some Cher. Matt's guilty pleasure. The Cores, like I said, that Breathless. Not as well known as some of them, but go check it out. Breathless by the Cores. You will be dancing with the vacuum cleaner on Monday morning, I promise you.
But the Sophie B. Hawkins?
Yeah.
That's gold. I love it.
Of course, Matt. You just got to let it in. Let it warm you up.
And see, and I don't include it as a guilty pleasure. And I think the older I get, the less guilty pleasures I have.
No, you're just more like, they're just pleasures.
And they're just tunes I like. And you're like, I love that.
Less shame. Just like, yeah, no, this is my shit now. Like,
yeah. See, and it was Jesse James by Cher.
Just like, yeah, that's great, man.
Little Avril Lavigne. Yeah, this is the playlist we put together for Matt. Oh, and hey, let us not forget another 90s one-hit wonder. Buffalo Stance,
yes.
Nina Cherry was also on Matt's playlist that I made for your birthday.
Yes, it was on that playlist, but is it 90s or is that 80s?
I want to say that is 90, 91.
Yeah, it's got to be right in that kind of gray area, though. Like, yeah. It's...
Oh, I was still in high school when that came out, so right. You're right. It is right...
Right tight. There.
Yeah.
I think that's it for this Monday...
What is he like?
Monday morning edition of the podcast.
It's true.
We're on Twitter and Instagram at TallCanAudio, Facebook.com/TallCanAudio. Mike Ross, Voice of the Leafs, is episode 750. Ian Mendez of TSN 1200 is episode 751, if you want to go back and check those out. You'll find the beers we're drinking. I think I already did Twitter and Instagram, at TallCanAudio, Facebook.com/TallCanAudio. Subscribe wherever you're listening to this one, and we'll catch you all later.
See ya.
It is over!
Now that's a tasty beverage.
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching TallCanAudio on your favorite podcast app.